throw balls far. You want good words? Data languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Well, Western Oklahoma anyway. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal, glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of stuff. NFL football tomorrow. We've got Cowboys and Bucks. So at some point, we're going to have to kind of preview the season.
Ah.
What we think. We don't have to make picks today. We can do that tomorrow.
Yeah, we got time.
But we're going to preview. I got some questions. You might have some that pop up in your mind as we talk. So we're going to hit that in the middle of the show, kind of preview the NFL. What's it looking like for this season? Going to have some last thoughts on college football week one, looking ahead to college football week two. And then starting to be some, I'm seeing like on Facebook or just having conversations with people. Have you heard or have you watched the Nat Geo docuseries on 9/11?
Yes.
You have seen it.
I've been watching this.
So One Day in America is what it's called.
It's
you have seen this.
Yes. I have been watching it.
This is going to be even better than I thought it was going to be.
It's riveting. It's incredible.
So you can give the listeners an idea of what is going
on. I'm not done with it. I've been kind of watching one a night.
Yeah, there's six.
Yeah,
I believe there's six total.
Six or seven, I can't remember. I'm towards the end. But it's incredible.
See, this is what tipped me off right there on the text line. I'd seen our commissioner's dad, our fantasy football commissioner's dad,
mm-hmm.
had mentioned it on Facebook, and then Dakota chimed in that they'd watched it.
Yeah.
And so
it's worth a look leading up to Saturday.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Leading up to Saturday with 9/11 coming, the 20-year anniversary of one of the worst days in American history. A good time for this to come out.
Yeah.
You know, in the lead up and getting all those memories and maybe some emotions and that kind of thing.
Oh, it definitely rehashes some emotions of that day.
All right, let's talk about that here.
I recommend it. Highly recommend it.
So that's what we got on the show. 225-9698. If you want to chime in about any of that, whatever else might be on your mind. I know there's some high school softball. The Elkettes almost blew a pretty big lead to Cash yesterday, but they held on to win.
It's funny you say that, because another local team did that too.
Oh, really? So we can talk about that? Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, Big Elks in Guymon. Friday night, 7 o'clock, the final non-district game of the 2021 season for the Elks. Looking to go 3-0 against the Guymon Tigers. Then at noon on Saturday, Paragon TV will have the Merritt Oilers and the OCA Eagles from Oklahoma Christian Academy. So,
should be good.
Good stuff. Merritt, with a stirring comeback, came up just short against Mangum on Friday night. And we still got that. We can talk about this as we get a little bit closer, but whether or not we truly believe we'll get back earlier from Guymon than we did from Oklahoma City.
It might depend on game flow and who's driving.
I'm going to go back and look before I make my final determination of last year how long our broadcast was with Guymon. Because the Southeast broadcast was over 4 hours last year. Guess what? It was over 4 hours this year.
It felt like it was shorter last year, but I think that's the big reason is because we were at home. We were...
The Guymon game?
Guymon and Southeast.
Yeah, Southeast is the one that drug.
But I didn't mind because it was, one, a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we were at home.
I did.
Why?
Because I had to hit the road to Stillwater.
Oh, that's right.
That's probably another reason why it felt
that.
So
yeah.
Long.
Yeah.
Because I knew I had had to get on the road.
Yeah. Well.
Try to make it before 3 a.m.
That's the problem when you start scoring a lot of points. The clock stops a lot.
Yeah.
So
go back and look. We'd have to go back and check that.
Yeah, but I'll take that. I mean, listen. At least this isn't a Thursday night game this time. At least it's a Friday night.
Yeah, we may if this was a Thursday night game at Guymon, we may have to put the no skinny on sports log in effect for Friday morning. I don't know. We did it last week.
We got through it last week.
2 a.m.
We were rambling, but we got it done.
Yeah, it was one of those shows that we got done, and I thought to myself, now what exactly did we talk about?
That whole day was a...
Jess was here. That helped out.
Yeah.
So we could just kind of sit here. I could sit here and just kind of zone out. I wonder what he's saying. I hear him talking, but I'm not sure what he's saying. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, by the end of that day, for me, I was... Because even that Merritt game went a little long. It was after 10, and I was a little zoned out. And I had to get up early to do the rodeo the next day.
That's right.
By Saturday night... Saturday afternoon when I finally okay, I'm home and I don't have to go anywhere until the rodeo Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to relax. But that's Labor Day, right?
Yep.
Usually go. Not complaining. I enjoy it. I enjoy this week, that past weekend.
All right, so tell me a little bit about this one day in America.
Yeah. It's
Cause see, okay, just before, I think it was Nat Geo that I have seen. It was a two-parter, and each part was about an hour and a half about 9/11 before, and it starts. I'm talking the first hour and a half is the entire build up to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stops with them like getting on the planes, and then it goes on, you know, for, you know, that day is the second one,
right?
You know, and then it, you know, it goes behind the scenes, air traffic control, and all that kind of stuff that was going on, and it was phenomenal. And you see things that you didn't see, you know, from really it's rough. Some of it's rough. There's no doubt about it. And maybe it was three parts. Maybe I can't remember, but it was. It was well done, but that's not what this is. This is something totally different.
This is more from the angle of the survivors' stories.
Okay.
And first responders who went in, I'm talking first responders that go in, how they went through that day and survived, or some miraculous stories from it, and some pretty gut-wrenching pull at the heartstring stories, because the way they set it up, and then you're like, whoa. And I mean, you felt the tears swell up, because again, it kind of rehashed those feelings of that day, of that, you know, there's still 20 years later, I think, how did that happen? How did that happen in America, in the world's greatest city, the biggest city? How did that happen? And it's still unfathomable at times, but a lot of raw footage. I mean, nothing gory or anything, but you know, immediately after the plane strike, immediately after the buildings come down, and the reaction of the people, and it is very mature, I would say. And I was pressing pause a lot when my kids would walk in the room, and I'd try to watch it when they were in bed and stuff. But so I would not, you know, especially for the young ones who don't really understand what 9/11 is. But it's great. I mean, I it's a great documentary because it honors those who survived and those who had fallen too. It tells their stories too of how they were heroes, how some, you know, went in that building. A lot of those firefighters, first responders, go in that building and knowing we're probably not coming back, and that's crazy to think that's. But they're like, that's our job. You know, we go to a small fire, we think we could not get out of this, and they went to that building thinking this could be it. It was very well done. And again, I think I'm one episode away from being done. I've kind of had this spread it out, but it is, I would highly recommend it. If I think it's on demand, like everywhere you mentioned, it's on National Geographic Channel. It's on the Hulu Next Day Live stuff, Next Day On Demand, whatever, but it's all there right now. I'd recommend it. Have you seen any of it? Did you see nothing?
No,
yet? You need to check it out.
It seems like just a little while back, I had maybe seen maybe watch a Nat Geo for something. We know we watch a bunch of different like animal show, you know, stuff like that. And maybe it's seen the promos for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of out of sight, out of mind, I hadn't. And then last night when Brad put that on Facebook, that, you know, he'd watch it, Dakota answered, and then here he is again. It's closest I've ever been to reliving that day with the footage and the stories that you've never heard.
And they used, it's not just, they commissioned with the memorial, the museum and memorial. It's like they gave them footage and all that. So it's like working with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if somebody were to do a documentary about Oklahoma City, and they'd probably work with the museum, you know, because they've commemorated that and curated all that. So that's where I think the inside of it was fascinating to me, to get that info from them, from the museum, and to get those stories and to hear those stories from those who were there. You know, and even 20 years later, you can still tell how it affects them. And it's just it's an incredible series to watch.
Yeah, that's what I noticed about the trailer that I watched this morning, was it said in
collaboration
yeah. with the 9/11 museum and yeah. that. And so, yeah, I guess that's because you wonder yourself, how are they getting this footage? Well,
yeah,
that's how.
The main footage I think they used was, if you remember, there's really only one video of the first plane going in. And it was when there is a documentary crew following New York firefighters, and they were checking a reported gas leak.
And it goes right over their head.
And it goes right over the head, yeah. And the cameraman happens to pan up, and they get it. And it follows that captain. And he was in command for a lot of those scenarios, and it follows him, and it, you could tell it's the same camera crew. And that was, I think, as close as you could get as far as finding footage, because that camera crew stayed with that guy, with that captain, the entire time. It was pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, sounds must watch.
I would say it is. And for parents out there, again, I'd avoid it with your kids. They don't understand the gravity of that, the enormity of that day and what it meant. My kid actually asked me, just a couple days ago, she asked me, "Dad, what's 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of stopped me, and I thought, well, you're going to learn about this in history.
Hopefully.
Yeah. My school system will.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Our school system yeah. will. I said, you're going to learn about this when you're old enough. I said, I could tell you that it is a day that changed America, and it was a day that happened 20 years ago. Mommy and Daddy were seniors in high school. And I just didn't want to say how, because I didn't want to scare of, you know, flying. But I said, basically, America was attacked, and it changed how we live from that point on. It really did. So, the next scary question I think my kid's going to ask me is, Dad, where do babies come from?
When you said the next scary question, that's literally the one that popped up in my head.
But that was a tough question to answer. I didn't want to, you know, make her think that the world is a bad place. It's not. But bad things happen. And you know, like us, when we were growing up, we had to learn about Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And World War II and the enormity of that. Well, this was very similar. This was...
It's nearly exactly what it was.
It's our generation's Pearl Harbor. There mm-hmm. was a calling of... There's a mass amount of people who signed up, you know, that went to their recruiters, and they were ready to go fight for our country after that event, just like Pearl Harbor. And so it did change America, but explain that to your 7-year-old is a little tough. And like I said, I press pause a lot, because I didn't want her to see that it is rated TV-MA,
mm-hmm.
because if not, there is some language. They don't show gory stuff, but they do show the intense stuff of obviously when the planes hit, when the buildings come down, and what struck me was first planes hit, and you got people, New Yorkers, everyday people, in the streets just gawking at it, just looking at it like, whoa, what's going on? Whoa, what happened? Whoa. And then when the buildings come down the sudden change of everybody's demeanor.
Yeah.
Like, this is real. This is in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And the shock that everybody had, you know, the screams, and what I'd noticed, like, you know, everyone's like, wow, you know, looky-loos, like you're looking at a car wreck. And then it turned into, whoa, this is not just affecting those in the building. This is affecting everybody.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, no one really knew what happened the first time.
There's a lot of confusion.
The first one, you didn't really know because, like you said, there really wasn't. I mean, at the time, there wasn't any footage of it. You know, that was dug out later.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like.
And it was perceived as an accident.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, a plane flew into the building. And yeah. But then as the attention goes to it, and then, you know, you see tons of the second one, it was obvious because you didn't know that it was a commercial airliner to start with. But then once you see that second one, you know, that was the moment where you're like, oh my gosh, this is not good. This is an attack.
Right.
That was on purpose. There is no way in the world two planes would hit those buildings on accident in the same day, like an hour apart, 30 minutes or whatever it was.
And by the way, apart. The Pentagon.
Yeah, and then of course then you're wondering what else.
Right.
But the White House is in the Capitol and the Pentagon and all those things. But in a way, and of course it goes back to the bombing in 93.
Mm-hmm.
Where they tried to take them down and didn't. Same folks, basically.
Yeah.
You know, cousins and stuff were involved in both. But they're, in a lot of ways, those two buildings were a symbol of America.
Mm-hmm.
As much or even more in some instances than, you know, the iconic White House or the Capitol or whatever. Just because of, I think, from a financial and power world power standpoint, that was the financial center of the world.
That was the main motivation. Mm-hmm.
And those two tried
to take down our economy in a way.
And so that's coming up on Saturday. Obviously, it'll be. I know A&M did kind of a deal this week. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a whole bunch more of that.
Oh, we're gonna see a lot of it across. College football stadiums. You know, I know OU's doing a striping of the stadium.
Been cool to get some blue in there.
It would be cool if they told all the because the student section is just wearing all red. If they tell
make
them
it all blue,
make it all blue, and maybe
kind of look like a flag.
Yeah,
a little bit. That
would be cool.
Yeah,
be hard to do, but I think it's already gonna be hard to do with what they're doing.
Yeah,
but they've been promoting this for months, so we'll see how it works. Hopefully, if you buy the pay per view. That's another conversation.
But
you're going to see it across the country. I firmly believe that. You know why? Because we saw stadiums full of people this last weekend. And some of them, did you see some of the chants? Hear some of the chants?
I can only imagine what the first word was. The last two were Joe Biden.
Yes.
I have a feeling it started with an F.
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't fire Joe Biden.
No, that's true. It wasn't at all.
There's going to be a lot of this is a relief for me. We're going to see a lot of patriotism, I believe, on Saturday.
You know, this may be a rhetorical question. Some of you out there can answer on your own. But I guess I would have the one question about this last weekend, and it was awesome. The amount of just normalcy.
Yes.
That it felt. So I guess my question would be this, Jared. Why in the world did Fauci decide to pick on the college football fans when we've had unlimited capacity at basically any sporting event all summer long that's been outside?
It's a great question. I don't know.
I wonder why that was.
I don't know. He didn't pick on Obama's party.
Lollapalooza. And don't give me that you had to have a vaccine and all that to get in there. We know more than anybody right here in this station that you still get it, even if you had the vaccine. So why was it college football fans that the Fauci decided to pick on?
Maybe his team sucks.
Probably does. Hey, we've had three new entries into the Western Oklahoma College Pick'em Contest, Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. Which, I mean, here's the deal. It's going by points only. So missing the first week, maybe you missed out on 30 or 40 points, but you've got plenty of time to catch up. It's a long season. And with the picks being against the spread, a 7-3 week, which is leading right now, that's going to vault you up the board. Whereas last year, 7-3 might make you go down because we're just picking winners of games. This year, it's going to be easy. It's going to be a lot more volatile on the leaderboard, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's just harder to pick games against the spread than it is to pick winners. That's why there's a point spread if you want to bet, because anybody can pick Alabama to beat Miami. We get it.
Right.
But are they going to beat them by 30?
Right.
Well, same 18
thing,
and a half.
Like OU Tulane, it was at 24.5 when it locked in, and it looked pretty good about early third quarter. A couple more touchdowns. One more touchdown, it might be it. Nope.
Womp, womp, womp. Yep.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against spread.
So come on. You can still get in. Three more entries. We're up to 56 in the contest. Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest, ESPN's website. We've got that link on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Come play the college pick'em. Still time. There's still time to catch up. I think even if you started next week, there might be time to catch up if you're good at it.
I think so.
If you're good at it, there might be time. But if I were you, I would not take that gamble.
So is there – this is open all the time, right? If someone wants to jump in whenever.
Jump in.
We're not going to stop you.
No.
We're not going to say, oh, too late.
Yeah. Now, if you get in the last week, you're probably not going
to
win.
Yeah, don't complain to us. I got in, but I didn't really have a chance. Well, should have got in earlier.
Yeah, September. I'd say by the end of the month of September, you better be in.
But we're happy with everybody in here.
Absolutely.
This is awesome.
We hadn't given anybody any grief yet.
Give it time.
Yeah, we gave Tyler a little grief yesterday.
Oh, you did?
He was a little bit of a struggle there. Oh, I assume he's Ole Miss, man. I assume. J-Mac. Yeesh. 3-7. Good thing he's a better baseball coach than he is. College pick'em guy.
I'll leave that in your department. I'm not going to comment. I still think he likes me. I don't want to mess that up in case I need to interview him about a baseball game or something.
Yeah, here's the deal. He can switch on a dime.
Yeah.
All right, NFL preview. The season starts tomorrow night with the defending champion Bucs hosting your Dallas Cowboys, or my Dallas Cowboys.
Your?
America's team, Dallas Cowboys.
It would be our Dallas Cowboys.
I did just see on our text line, Drew said that if Zach Martin can test negative today and tomorrow, he can play.
That certainly helps.
That would be a huge help to the old Cowboys. They could have what a lot of people think is their best player, regardless of position, out there. Not a lot of high hopes for me for tomorrow night's game with the Cowboys. I mean, they didn't play anybody in the preseason, really. Dak hasn't taken a snap since he snapped his leg off against the Giants last year. So, you know, not a lot of hope that that game will be a W against the defending champions. But I do think the Cowboys will be fine moving on throughout the year.
Health is the main reason they will be fine.
Health,
they got to stay healthy.
Well, everybody does. There's very few teams that have tons and tons of depth. Now, the Bucs are one of those. They've got a ton of depth. Cleveland is a team that has a ton of depth. You know?
Yeah.
And those are.
They do.
There's a few teams out there that do, and then there's some other teams that, you know, an injury at a certain spot, and bam, they're done. AFC, let's start there.
By the way, Tampa Bay, 8-point favorite, biggest spread this week.
Is it really?
Yeah. There's a couple 7.5s, but 8 is the biggest.
It seems like a ton of points, but with Dallas not, I don't, it's hard. It's.
I think the Zach Martin thing could change things.
It'd be pretty hard to pick Dallas. That's all I'm saying.
No, it'd be hard to pick them. Sure.
Because doesn't maybe I'm just.
I think the spread will tighten up if Martin is ruled.
Yeah, I don't think a guard makes that much difference.
Well, it could take a half a point away.
Doesn't it? Is it just me, or does it seem like in these games, the home team, the defending champ, normally romps? Is that just me? Just remembering a couple. It seemed like Denver against Pittsburgh a few years back.
It feels like a continuation of their
little bit,
their
and then,
Super Bowl parade. You know, they're gonna. Is this where they get? Well, they already got their rings. Or do they drop the banner for them?
Yeah,
tonight?
I'm sure they do a lot of that
they
stuff.
They do all
yeah.
that stuff, and yeah. If Dallas needs any hope, or has any hope in this game, it's to catch Tampa Bay still a little starstruck from the Super Bowl win.
Celebrating,
the crowd's going nuts. They're caught in the moment, and Dallas going, well, we're the underdogs. Let's go shock them. Come out, punch them in the mouth, and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. But for the season, hey, let's go. Or we can stay in the NFC since we're talking about Dallas. I think a lot of people would have Tampa Bay favored. I know when we looked at those FPI numbers a couple of weeks back, a rematch was actually
the favorite
of the Super Bowl contenders. It was a rematch between the Chiefs and the Bucks. That hasn't happened since 1993 with Dallas and Buffalo.
And so, that's been good for the league, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
hasn't happened.
There's been return teams, but not return game.
Right, that's what I meant.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that, what was it, 8% was the probability of that happening, and that was the most probable outcome of the season with the FPI. You know, you don't see this very often, so it's hard anymore. This used to, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s and up until the mid-90s, this was what happened. The Super Bowl champion won, and then their whole team was back because there wasn't a thing called free agency.
Yeah.
But now in the free agency era, you never see this, where they have literally everyone back on that team for Tampa.
Well, it's easy to say, oh, I get to come back and play with Tom Brady?
Yeah, I mean, okay.
There's that.
You do,
there's
and
that
he's
angle.
44 now. And is there ever he can't keep on doing this, right?
I know.
He's 44 years old.
And it's, I don't know if it's so much about physical ability as it is just knowing how to win. Knowing how to control a game.
He threw for 4,600 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 12 picks last year as a 45-year-old man, or 43-year-old man. And, oh, by the way, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean,
fully aware, Aaron.
Is it? But seriously, though, I mean, no one's going to be the one to say, oh, this is it. Just get out on that giant limb. But eventually, it is going to be it.
Yeah, it is.
He cannot continue to do this for until he's 50. Can he? Are you going to tell him no? I mean, does it ever end?
He's earned the right to say out when he wants to quit.
I'll say he just won his seventh Super Bowl at 43.
Yeah, so no, nobody's going to tell him, you know, we're done with you. Thanks for the rings. We appreciate you. Now he'll go out on his own terms.
But, and if somebody does that, it'll probably just make him mad, and he'll go win somewhere else.
Yeah, he'll go to their rival or something. Yeah, to a division rival. Nah, it's amazing. And I'm with you. And I know I've said this for what's now years is like him and LeBron. I'm just waiting for him to get old. Just waiting for him to get old. And now LeBron's starting to show a little bit of that.
And Brady does too. Listen, there's definitely
That's what I'm saying.
He's
shown a little bit of that, but I think he shows more on how to win mentally more so than physically. Like, he doesn't have to throw the bombs down the sideline. He can look, okay, I can get it to my guy across the middle for a 5-yard pop, and then he's going to get five more for me.
Right.
Stuff like that.
And he picks and chooses his spots to throw it down
the
field.
And it always helps when he plays with a good tight end. I think that helps out a quarterback tremendously.
And Gronk is that. And listen, the weapons he has on the outside are really good. That, you know, the one part of that offense that's still young is the offensive line. And it just got better and better as the season went along, to where then in the Super Bowl, the biggest advantage Tampa had was their offensive line could block Kansas City, whereas Kansas City's offensive line had no chance to block Tampa. And Mahomes was running for his life the entire night.
Right.
It's hard for me to pick them.
It's hard for you to pick Tampa.
It's hard for me to pick them to return to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
To
even return.
Wow. Because it just doesn't seem like it happens that often. He's 44, man. At some point, he's going to get old. It may not be this year, but I'm going to pretend like it's going to be. So if it's not Tampa, who
else? I made the mistake of saying that last year.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'll make that mistake again.
Neither one of us really liked them until the playoffs started. Then you can kind of see it coming together.
Right. You're right. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, because that's the thing. Everyone looks at it.
Don't write them off if they lose like three games.
Yeah, but everybody looks at it right now as, oh yeah, well Tampa, they were going to win the Super Bowl. No, they weren't. They were a wild card team that had to go on the road and win in the playoffs at Washington. They won at Green Bay, and then what was their middle game?
Their championship game?
And the championship game was Green Bay. They won at Washington in the wild card round.
Right.
Was it Saints?
Yeah, because they beat the Saints. Yeah,
because they lost both games.
They looked horrible against the Saints early in the year.
Yeah, they lost both regular season games.
Right.
Then they beat them at the Superdome. Yeah. Then they went and beat Rodgers on the road at Lambeau, which is all, that.
It was like a redemption tour for them because they looked horrible against Kansas City in the regular season.
Yeah, and they weren't that good in the regular. That's the whole thing. I mean, they weren't that great, and then all of a sudden, Brady showed up in the playoffs. Like Brady shows up, and they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So who else in the NFC? Who else is the challenger?
The Bills.
The Bills are in the AFC.
I knew that. I was testing you. I don't know. I always gravitate to them as an NFC-looking team in a weird way. See, the NFC is so wide open when we start talking like
this.
It
is to me. I mean, Green Bay obviously is going to be around, you'd think.
I was telling you, we were talking fantasy football. As long as Aaron Rodgers is there.
I mean, don't you think he's about to go nuts?
They're going to be contenders.
And he was the MVP last year. I get it. But
I would say they're the next contender behind Tampa Bay.
It's hard.
Listen, Tampa Bay is my favorite. Okay, a little insight to our little preview tomorrow that we're going to do. But Tampa Bay is my NFC favorite.
You're buying in.
But Green Bay, because we like our old man quarterbacks. Well, is Aaron Rodgers old?
Yeah, he's like 38.
Okay.
That's not.
Wait a minute, I'm 38. What?
That's not old compared to Brady, but yeah, that's old for a quarterback in the NFL, or it used to be. Maybe it's not anymore.
Yeah, I'll lean Green Bay, and then I'm interested to see what happens with the Rams.
He's 37, not 38 yet.
Okay. So he's young then, because I'm a year
older. He'll be 38 during the season.
You like the Rams?
Man, it's hard to tell.
I know the West is so tough.
The West is really tough. I think Matthew Stafford is a clear upgrade over Jared Goff. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I actually like the Niners.
Really?
I like the 49ers. I think the 49ers are going to be good. Their defense is good. Jimmy G, he did, everyone's ready to replace him, but he did take a team to the Super Bowl just too small. I'm old enough to remember them being in the Super Bowl 2 years ago against Kansas City.
That's true.
You know, and I like the way their team is put together. I think they're going to be good. I think the Rams, there's no way I would go out on any team in the East to actually be a true contender to make it to the Super Bowl. Arizona, we got to. For the West, you know, Kyler Murray, this is a huge year for him. He has got to stay healthy. When he's been healthy, he's been pretty good. But he has got to be able to show that he can stay healthy. And now here's the question with that. If there's a concerted effort to keep him healthy, i.e. don't run him as much, is he as effective? Is he as effective as just a drop-back thrower versus that threat of his legs and just the explosiveness of what he can be?
I think for him to be successful, he has to.
I think he has to use his legs a little.
He has to use his legs to keep defenses true.
I do too. To keep him honest.
To keep him honest, because if he's dropping back to pass, the defense has to know he could always tuck it and run.
Absolutely.
Always tuck and run. If he just abandons that because for what reason or other, because he just wants to stay healthy, then he's going to be easier to defend. He has to show every once in a while that he can still go.
That's what makes him so dynamic is his ability to run.
Yes.
But also throw it. You know, he and Lamar are similar, except for Murray can actually spin it.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I think, you know, you fear Kyler Murray's throwing way more than Lamar's. But they both had that, you know, the run component that's frightening.
Right.
Because they can score from anywhere. Yeah, I think the NFC is pretty open. You know, any of those four out west, didn't even mention Seattle. They're always pretty good.
There is in no order in the NFC West that would shock me.
Me neither. It wouldn't surprise me if anybody's last. Actually, you know what? It would surprise me if the Rams were last. But it wouldn't surprise me if they don't win the division.
Yeah.
Just because it's a really good division. Like I said, the East, throw them up in a hat. Philly was the last team to repeat as NFC East champs, and that was clear back in 2004. So that's probably not a good sign for the football team. I think they've got a phenomenal defense. Can Fitzmagic really make a difference? Dallas, healthy Dak, what do they got? I would favor Dallas to win that division because of the schedule they're going to get to play as a third place team last year. So that'll help a little bit. And just the rest, everybody else, nobody's very good.
That's the problem with that.
Right now, it's just, you know, but here's the thing.
Yeah, winning it is great and everything, and you can hang a banner about it, but it just top to bottom, all four teams, they really don't impress you.
It goes in cycles, though, because, you know, a decade ago, the NFC West was the most god-awful division of all time.
Yeah.
Having teams that didn't even have a winning record in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden now they flip that script completely. So it just cycles up and down.
NFL, it does cycle, and it's not – although some would say, well, it was the Patriots forever. But as far as parity across the league, you know, everybody has a chance to win a division, I think, that at one given year or another.
Once in every 5 years, it feels like that for sure.
It does.
All right, what about who's the biggest challenger to Kansas City in the AFC side?
Well, I mentioned the Bills mistakenly, but I like them so much, so I guess I was quick to pull the trigger on them. But I like them a lot. Man, I don't want to go there.
You're going to do it though.
I'm not going to say Cleveland. You mentioned depth and they, you know, and I think, listen, what Baker's done there is great to where they were before he got there and where they are now. I mean, they're a team that a lot of people will pick them to be contenders in the AFC or possibly win it. They're saying that this year is possibly that year to take that next step because of the personnel. I'm not ready to go there just yet. Something, you know, just still, it's still that orange helmet and the brown uniforms. I see it and I think losers. They're not going to get it done. I hate to say it, be that blunt, but you see what I'm saying? It's kind of like when you see Kansas football. He's like, well, they're never. It's just losing follows them. But I'm not ready to put them as the top of the AFC. Will they contend in the North? Absolutely, absolutely. But I think the Bills. I keep leaning that way as the next team after Kansas City. They've always seemed to be on the verge, right? It feels like they're a team that is almost there.
When is the last time? Is it the Bills? I'm just kind of thinking. Are the Bills the last team to go to three straight Super Bowls? And I know they went to four in a row, but are they the last one to do it three straight? The Pats never did it. Because the Pats went, what, 0-1, 0-2, skipped 0-3 when Brady got hurt, and then back in 0-4. Denver went twice at the end of Elway. Denver went twice with Peyton. Seattle wasn't back-to-back. So it's got to be the Bills.
Teams to accomplish three consecutive appearances include the Dolphins, 71 through 73.
Yeah.
Patriots 16, 17, and 18.
Oh.
But the Bills had four.
They okay, so the
from 90 to 93.
Oh, yeah. They had the loss to Philly in there. Mm-hmm. That's right. That they lost to Philly.
Yeah.
So they beat Seattle, then they lost to Philly that next year, then they beat the wait a minute. What were those games?
Oh, I don't know. It just
beat the Seahawks, lost to the, then beat the Falcons.
I can't maybe the Falcons.
Anyway, all right. So they did go three. So it hadn't been that long ago. I guess it's easy to do. That totally blows my point out of the water. So I thought they went three out of four again, like they did early on in the 2000s.
Let's see here. 90-90-90, they...
It's just hard to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Giants lost to the Giants in 91. I guess it's the 90s season. 91.
Are you talking about the Bills?
Yes.
Yeah, they went Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, Cowboys.
Correct.
I was thinking about the Patriots and their little stretch there.
Oh, the Patriots.
Yeah, the Pats. They beat the... beat Seahawks, lost to...
Patriots lost to the Seahawks. Yes.
No, they beat the Seahawks.
No.
They beat the Seahawks because they didn't run Marshawn on the one damn yard line.
I'm looking at the wrong side.
Okay.
They put the red on the winner. You'd think the red would be on the loser.
Yeah, red normally would be negative. So they beat the Seahawks, lost to Philly, and then beat Atlanta in those three in a row. Is that what we're saying?
Beat Atlanta, lost to Philly.
Oh, and they beat the Rams.
Beat the Rams.
Okay, so the Seahawks, yeah, the Seahawks, there was one in between there.
There was one in between there. One Seahawks. In between there. So, then there's the Denver, Carolina.
That's what it was. Denver, Peyton, and Cam. And then they got three. Okay, so.
Yeah.
So they were really four out of five. Holy hell.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just hard to remember. They racked it up. What about them? Speaking of, what about them? They were hurt as bad as anybody by people opting out last year.
Right.
I think six starters opted out for COVID. They've got a new quarterback. Mac Jones looks like the type of quarterback that would excel in that system. The statue
I'm not ready to put a rookie quarterback at the top of the mountain just yet. But I think they're on their way.
They're in the division with the Bills, so that'll be tough.
Yeah, I think the Bills and Patriots will fight it out for the AFC East crown, but I'm not ready to put
Dolphins.
I'm not.
You're not on the Dolphins.
No.
A lot of people are on the Dolphins.
I'm not.
No Tua trust.
No, absolutely not.
No Tua.
I don't think Miami trusts Tua.
I don't either. That's why they're kicking the tires on Deshaun Watson, for God's sake.
This is why I'm not on.
That guy's going to be in prison.
Yeah. Should
that's
be.
How much they didn't trust Tua.
Yeah. Squeaky clean.
24
Tua.
Counts. Whatever. Maybe. Let's try it out. And they were going to give up their whole. They were going to give up the farm for him. What are people doing?
I don't know. But
I mean, I get the media is ignoring Deshaun Watson for obvious reasons, but why are teams being that stupid? Three first rounders for a guy that's going to be playing on the penitentiary team?
Why isn't Houston taking it up yet? Why isn't Houston?
I can't believe they won't trade him.
I know.
If somebody's really willing to give that, what are you doing?
Give up that much. Like, yeah.
Maybe there's more to it than we know, but my gosh, that looks like a no-brainer. If somebody's that dumb. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. And by the way.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I hit that.
Oh, my goodness, scared me.
With my hand. It's not crazy to pick Cleveland. You're not crazy. They have as good a roster as anybody in the NFL.
Agreed.
They really and truly do.
Personnel-wise, they do. They look like.
So, therefore, it's not crazy to pick the most talented team. Last year was a huge year for Baker, and he came through. After a little bit of a rough start, I think he was the third best quarterback from week 8 on, QBR-wise, just behind Rodgers, who won the MVP, and Mahomes. And you mentioned the losing. That's the thing that, to me, people want to dog Baker about his stats aren't as good as some of the others, and when that's very true, and oh, he's a game manager, da-da-da, whatever. They were 1-31 the 2 years before he got there, and now they have won, what, 7, 6, and 10? Really?
That's what I'm saying. That's where you got to give it up to him a little bit. What was the change? It was Baker Mayfield.
He and Josh Allen both, because the Bills were an embarrassment. They were they went the longest after four straight Super Bowls to start the 90s. They went to playoffs in 99. The Music City Miracle knocked them out, and they didn't make it back until like 2 years ago. And so those guys coming into those two franchises has totally flipped the script and turned it on its head. Now all of a sudden the Bills and the Browns for a decade and a half were the laughing stock of the league are now formidable teams, and those two quarterbacks are a big reason why. Having said all that, good luck beating Kansas City.
The Browns had their chance in the playoffs.
Maybe the Ravens, if Lamar can get it together all the way, be more like the problem for Lamar is even in his MVP year, he was shut down in the playoffs.
Yes.
Is it? Are we overlooking Tennessee? Drew's telling me Tennessee's better than everybody in the NFC, which I don't think that's true. But is Tennessee the over? We overlooked them last year. Remember? I remember both of us talking about, golly, we're not going to pick Tennessee to make the playoffs. Neither of us did, and boop, there they were. Derrick Henry, the alien that he is. You know, you've always their defense wasn't very good last year.
They got Julio.
Yeah.
Now, is he getting old?
Be nicer if this was 2012 instead of 2021 for Julio, but A.J. Brown's an absolute beast. Maybe.
Who's it? Tannehill going to be?
Tannehill's out for COVID right now, isn't he?
No.
Oh, he's back now?
He resumed practice yesterday.
Okay.
No, Monday, excuse me.
All right, I missed that. Let's finish it up with more NFL. So who is a team that missed the playoffs last year that you think will be involved this year?
You might have to remind me who missed the playoffs. But let me just shoot in the dark. You want to start anywhere, AFC, NFC?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
I got one. Denver.
Denver.
Yeah. Hearing a lot of positive talk about Denver.
Teddy Bridgewater.
And I'm not sure why, but I'm just going off of what other national media said. They a lot of positive talk about the Denver Broncos. Of course, they were horrible last year, and main reason why was COVID, and they didn't even have quarterback at one game. Yeah,
that's very true.
So, but hard for me to see them down that long. So I'll go Denver. I'll say maybe a wild card team. Obviously, being this in the West with Kansas City.
Yeah, I was thinking about another. I was thinking about a West NF or a AFC West team myself. Wasn't that one though? I was thinking about the Chargers. Justin Herbert, can he take them to the playoffs? The easy one. The easy one is.
I think I would have said that too. I liked Herbert. Like him a lot.
The easy one is to say whoever's going to win the NFC East outside of Washington, because Washington isn't repeating. Because it hasn't happened since 2004.
That'd be an easy one.
But the problem is you got to figure out who that's going to be. You wouldn't think it's the Giants, right? What are the Giants doing? Nothing. Daniel Jones? Be about it for him, wouldn't it?
Barkley's back.
Saquon? You trust in Saquon?
They're saying he's about 100%.
How do you feel about Jalen Hurts? Philly? Dallas? The one thing about Washington is they definitely have the best unit in the division, with the question marks of Dak's health. Washington's defense is for sure the best unit, right?
In the division?
In the division.
Absolutely.
I just don't – until I see Dak healthy – now, by the end of the season, could it be Dallas's offense? Absolutely. It could be, because they are loaded. Loaded for bear. I think I would take Dallas in this. I really do. Colts made the playoff. I was going to take the Colts until I looked up the playoff bracket. Colts made it last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
I forgot all about them making the playoffs.
Yep.
Because that was where I was going to go. But I can't, because they were there as the seventh team. I guess I would go Dallas and maybe the Chargers. Oh,
yep.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh made it, and they got beat by the Browns. So who's dropping out? What team made it last year you don't think is going to make it this year? I've got one.
Go for it.
The Bears.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Bears. Not making the playoffs.
Who?
Sorry, the Bears.
Make the playoffs. Man,
it's hard to pick an AFC team unless you don't think Carson Wentz is going to be any good at the Colts. Because the rest of those are all – or maybe Steelers. Uh-oh. Do we need to save this for Jim?
I think they get in with the wild card. So, no, I won't go there. I would lean Colts on the AFC side. On the NFC side, ooh.
WFT?
No.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah.
Or the Bears. Or do you want to go crazy? I think you could go crazy.
I don't like Jameis Winston.
That's where I was going to say.
I love Sean Payton.
I think you can go crazy with one, and that would be it.
But I can see that derailing in a hurry.
And Taysom Hill's not good enough to get it out of the tracks. Mm-mm. I don't know.
But the Washington football team is easy to pick because you think
you're going to have to win the division.
You're just going to have to win the division.
Right.
You're not getting in with a wild card.
That's right. More than likely.
So that's the easy pick. But I could see the Saints. I could see that just not working with Jameis Winston. And then it not work, and guess who they bring in?
What?
Cam Newton.
Oh, dear. I think they already have him. His name is Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, there's that chance. There is that chance. But I actually think he's going to be pretty good. I think the year under the tutelage of Sean Payton and watching Drew Brees, if this doesn't get the best Cam Newton, we may never see, or Jameis, we may never see it. Because I think he has a chance to be good. We'll see. We'll make our picks tomorrow. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.